be God.
Thank you very much. Don't be alarmed at the notebook. I'm not going to read the message, all right? But Brother Tuffy joined our church about 4 years ago almost, and what a joy it's been to be his pastor for these years. I'll say more about this notebook as we get along. I'm going to invite your attention to John chapter 10 this morning. John chapter 10, I'm going to read some verses beginning in verse 7. The Bible says, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I'm come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." I don't think there's a more wonderful and a more encouraging passage of Scripture than the discourse here, as this referred to, the discourse on the Good Shepherd that was given by our Lord Jesus Christ. It's recorded for us here in the Scriptures, and verse 10, I'll be honest, has always held a great fascination for me. It's got those words in there. The Bible tells us, and Jesus said that he came that we might have life. But he goes further when he says that they might have it, that is, that life, more abundantly. More abundantly. God made this world. He made everything in it. I believe he did that for man to enjoy. And he provided abundantly for that first man and first woman. Adam and Eve provided everything they need. But even today, our Bible tells us that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And if he's going to supply your needs, he's going to take care of you. And that life that God has given us is for living. It's not just for existing. And I say that because when I think of Brother Tuffy, I think of a man, by the time I met him, he was 90 years old. But he still knew how to enjoy life. He enjoyed life. If he didn't, he sure fooled me, all right? Because if he wasn't enjoying it, he was miserable in a very, very happy mode, okay? He just had that about him. And I always try to learn everything I can about an individual when I'm asked to speak at any kind of memorial service. And so I've enjoyed learning about Brother Tuffy's life a little bit. Had the chance to speak to his niece this morning before the service, and I met her and asked her, I said, tell me just a little bit. And what she told me reinforced everything that already failed. And I thought, well, thank God he didn't just do this at the end of his life. He was this way all of his life. And he hadn't changed. And so I want to take that thought of a life more abundantly. And let's remember Brother Tuffy a little bit, all right? The first thing I say is he came from an abundant family. How do you figure that? Well, he was the fifth of 10 children. That's a crowd at the table, all right? That's a bunch of folks, all right? But he was outnumbered. There were 6 girls and only 4 boys in that crew. He had what I think was a great privilege. He grew up on a farm, and you need a farm to raise such a family, right? And that's what he was. So he was blessed, came from an abundant family. And he realized that an abundance in a nation requires at least some of those in that nation to step up and serve their country so that that abundance can be preserved. Brother Tuffy did that. He was willing to go spend 4 years of his life serving in the U.S. Army, and he served that. So we today can enjoy abundant life. He had an abundant family of his own. 2 children. 5 stepchildren. I really don't like that term too much because I don't believe he considered them less than anything else, but that leads to an abundance of grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And there's some that are here, all right? Brother Tuffy, I'm told, I was talking to Ms. Autry the other day, and she was saying, boy, we've gone through stuff, and he said, I had this big box of pictures, and she said, man, there was kids upon kids in those pictures, and so many of those pictures said had him in it, and he's holding a different child. So he had an abundant family of his own. He knew what that was to enjoy that family. Then I believe Brother Tuffy knew how to live an abundant life. You say, what do you mean? Well, he knew what it was to work. There's nothing wrong with working. Working's a good thing. He worked. He had a career, a long career, and enjoy it. But at the same time, he knew how that life was not all about work. He loved to do things like fish. He loved to play golf, I'm told. He liked to dove hunt. He enjoyed growing an abundant garden. And I think about those things and I think, man, he and I are a lot alike. I love to fish. I love to play golf. I love to dove hunt. I don't mind a garden, but I'd really rather just eat what comes out of it, you know? But he did all of that, and he enjoyed that. I'm told one of his favorite things, he's a baseball player. And he played baseball. Undoubtedly, when he was in service, they had a service baseball team. He played, and all over Europe, he played baseball, and he enjoyed baseball. That was his favorite sport, and I didn't realize this till talking just this week with Ashley. She said he was a pitcher. He was left-handed. I immediately thought, as tall as he was, when he turned loose of the ball, it was halfway to the plate, you know? That long arm and that long body he had. But he enjoyed that. And I think that's why so many times in so many pictures you see him in a baseball cap too, you know? He enjoyed that life. He enjoyed all there was about it. He knew what it was to do it. But I want to say this, with all those things being enjoyed, Brother Tuffy had not really touched the abundant life that Jesus Christ talks about in John chapter 10. He had really only barely tasted of life that's available to man. Up until, if I've counted right, up until he was 55 years old. However, that was going to change. And it did change one day. It changed April the 26th, 1986, at the Harbor Baptist Church in Paine Springs, Texas. Because it was there on that day that Brother Tuffy and his wife, Ima Ruth, met the giver of life. You said, preacher, how can you say that? Because it's recorded right here. In his own handwriting, he's got it entitled Nanny and Papa Testimony. And it's right here. And he's written it out. And I mean, there's a lot of it. I was tempted to get up here and just read from it today. But I thought if I opened this and started reading, y'all would really get scared. But it was on that day he met the one that is able to transform an individual from just living to really enjoying life more abundantly. More abundantly. Just to quote him, it's written in this book. He said, and I quote, "In all of life, there is nothing more wonderful than discovering peace with God. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for." Those are his words. Hey, he discovered that life more abundant, all right? He records in here, it is super interesting, and if you can get actually to let you read it, you ought to read it. But don't let them take it. Don't let it get out of your sight, all right? You keep it. What a blessing it is to read that. I read it and just rejoiced as I was reading through it and the things he has to say. And he talks about, the amazing thing is he said, I was born into a Christian family, but I wasn't always a Christian. He said, did some things I shouldn't have done. It's interesting to read. He said, after he talked about getting saved and trusting the Lord as his Savior, he said, my wife and I, we had already emptied the wine, the beer, and the liquor and poured it out in a creek. That was before he got saved. But he realized that there was something missing in his life. And when he got saved, he got active, all right? He didn't just get saved to sit, all right? He became very, very faithful in church. He and his wife taught classes, served as a deacon. It's got the date in here when he became a deacon. He became the director of the Sunday school. Back there on the table in that foyer, there's a little thin sheet there of an article he wrote having to do with marriage. And I'm reading that and reading what he wrote. He displayed a tremendous understanding of the work of God in the life of a believer. A lot of people don't see that. But he wanted others to get what he had. He wanted others to see it. And he wrote what I would call, either you can call it a long letter or a short book to tell other peoples about it. And here's what he said. I'm going to condense it a little bit. He said, number one, you need to realize, you come to the realization, you're a sinner. You've sinned. You've broken the law of God. That's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned. But then he goes on to say, you need to acknowledge the fact that you're unable to help yourself. To help yourself. He said you can't do it on your own. You can't make it on your own. He said the only thing you can do is turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust what he did. Well, the Bible tells us that God sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin, the payment for our sin. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Brother Tuffy writes in here, he said, you need to understand that, you need to believe that. Then you need to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, trust him, and call upon him to save your soul. That event in his life on April the 26th totally changed his life. He was not the same anymore at all. I first had the opportunity to meet Brother Tuffy when Ashley brought him to church with her. He had been sick. She had met him over, for those of you that aren't in our church, you don't know, Ashley is a person that's always had a tremendous love for the elderly and has served them and for years did that with others. But she met him through Mrs. Wilson, who lived in the same complex he did. She brought him to church. They kept coming. I got to noticing. Man, y'all sit awful close together. Then I found out they're holding hands. For some strange reason, she didn't bother to tell us she had got married, okay? You know, she just let us figure that out by herself, you know. But what a deal, you know, found out later they were married. Brother Tuffy, what a blessing he was to our church. Now, he was no longer able to be the Sunday school director. He couldn't do those things. Physically, he was no longer able to be the deacon in the church. But he added something to our church, all right? He was still living life more abundantly. He still had that. He had a joy and a peace about him that was apparent. Apparent. The word that was used was kind. When I asked his niece about him, that was the first word she used. His kindness. His kindness. Man, he always had a smile on his face. He also had the coldest hand I ever shook. I mean, his hands were always cold, all right? Maybe that's a testimony to the old saying, cold hands, warm heart. Warm heart. He had that warm heart. I'll say this to you. I've never, I don't think, have anybody say to me as many times, definitely not anybody do it anymore, him say to me, I sure do love you. What a blessing. What a blessing. He loved this church. He loved the people in this church. You'll look around, you'll see we loved him. I thought about saying this earlier in the message to look around. Brother Tuffy was 94 years old when he passed away. I don't know how many funerals you've attended of people with that age, but most time you go to a funeral like that, there's not many there. They've outlived their family. They've outlived their friends. They've outlived their enemies. And there's just not many around left that knew him. But what a testimony to Brother Tuffy this group of people is that are here today. And may the Lord bless you this morning with this thought. He's really enjoying that abundant life right now. Really enjoying it. Let me give you another quote. He said this, "You are not home yet. At death, you don't leave home, we'll go home." Can I say this to you? That's where he is today. I was there at the hospital with Ashley and her mom and her sister, Brother Tuffy, and they carried him in. I'd got the call that he didn't have long to live. I got there in that emergency room, and we stood by the bedside, and I spoke to him. I don't know if he heard me. But I'll be honest, I'm not sure Brother Tuffy heard me much anyway. His hearing was so bad, you know. Sometimes I always wondered how much did he really hear, you know. But I spoke to him, and it wasn't too long while we stood by that bedside, he just simply stopped breathing. And he slipped out of that body, that earthly tabernacle, and he went to be with the Lord. He went home to be with him. What a testimony. What a testimony he lived out in his life. Hey, Ashley, I want to say this in winding up. I'm glad you met him. I'm glad you brought him to church. I'm glad you married him. Because I believe you enriched the last years of his life. And you definitely enriched your life also. Brother Tuffy had the way of enriching the life of everyone who really got to know him. It's such a wonderful thing that he was part of us. And we can carry his memory, and I encourage you to do that. But I encourage you to be challenged by his life. And if by some chance you happen to be here this morning and you've never met the Savior, you've never trusted the Savior he talks about meeting in this book, well, I challenge you to do that. Consider trusting Christ as your Savior. You may say, well, I'm really enjoying life now. But that abundant life is for those that know the Lord. It goes beyond words. You can't explain it, but that's the way it is. Thank God for his memory. Thank God for his testimony that he had. I'm going to offer a word of prayer here in just a moment. We're going to close, but we're going to give you the opportunity, if you want to come by and greet the family. We'll have somebody that will direct you that way, so if you'll just be patient. And I want to say this, Brother Tuffy's remains are going to be interred in the DF. W. National Cemetery over in Dallas. And it's going to be at 2 p.m. on February the 13th of this year. And if you've never been to one of those services, I just want to tell you, when they say 2 p.m., they don't mean 2:01. And you will need to be there. If you're going, you will definitely need to be there and be in line, ready to go before 2 o'clock, all right? They do not wait on anybody. And so I want to tell you that. And I know the family would be honored if you could come and you wanted to do that. But once again, thank you for being here today. Thank you on behalf of the family. Hey, thank you on behalf of our church. As I said, we loved him. We do love him. We'll continue to love him. And we'll look forward to the day we see him again.